Morning, everybody. How you doing today? It is absolutely beautiful outside, but it's a good time to be here in church. Let's see. How about we turn to 160 and let's stand 160. Father, what a way to start your day off, Lord, singing that song there. How the blood of Christ covers us all, Lord. Amen. Thank you for the beautiful day, the opportunity to be here, Lord. Thank you for what our Savior did, his sacrifice for us, Lord. Thank you that we can be here with our pastor today. For this great nation we live in, Lord, we know it's many problems, but we thank you so much for it. Be with our John today, Lord. Guide him and direct him. Help him as he brings forth your message you put in his heart, Lord, that it would just speak to each and every person in this room today, Lord. Help us all, Lord, to examine ourselves and see what's going on, Lord, and to make sure that we're right with you, Lord. Yes. Pastor's been saying it, I don't know how long now, but Lord, help us all to get a little more spiritual, Lord. Yes. Help us to know what we're talking about. Help us to know what you're talking about, Lord. Be with us today, Lord, as we study. Guide us as we go through the rest of our morning service here, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Let's see, how about 155, please? 155.
Mercy there was
service tonight, 6 o'clock. We're continuing on our way to the Master there. That's some good stuff, folks. Come on out for that 6. Upcoming events, Women's Bible Study at Diana Hall's home on the 24th. Wilt Bible Study, 26th at 6. I got several notes here I got to get through here. Fellowship next Sunday, the 29th. Kids team is Kay's Alpha and Sandra. November 4th is Ladies Retreat, Walnut Park. Please let me know who's going so I can let Walnut Park know. I got this here. Please announce deadline for Women's Retreat, Walnut Park. They need to know. Evidently, some folks don't know yet. Anyway, see, Thanksgiving service here at the church, the 19th at 2 in the afternoon. So we'll have a morning service. Head home real quick. Come right back at 2. And then services this week, Wednesday, our Bible study and prayer at 7. Our Sunday school, obviously, is at 9:30 in the morning and worship at 10:40. Pastor's thought for the week. Wait on the Lord for answers. Move immediately on the answers that he gives. That's our biggest problem. Guys, you come forward. We'll take up the morning offering. Kim, where's Kim at? There she, I got you. Right after this. Let's pray. Father, thank you again for the beautiful day, the opportunity to be here today, Lord. Thanks for the folks that showed up, Lord. Just anticipating a little time in your word here as our pastor is just about to speak, Lord. Guide and direct him, Lord. Thank you for all that you do for us, Lord. The daily provision, the safety, Lord. All the things that we have, Lord. Thank you so much. I just pray now, Lord, that you be the gift and giver as we consider it a small offering back to you, Lord. Thank you for this time. In Jesus' name, amen. Kim's got a small piece.
Just really small. Our money donation deadline that I talked about last week is Sunday, November 12th. So that will be the last Sunday that you want to give towards the food drive. That will be the last date for that, for November 12th. And then Saturday, November 18th, will be the food giveaway. And that will be from 9 a.m. to 10 a.m. But we will meet here at the church at 8 a.m. to get the boxes put together. And it goes really fast.
Yes. Mr. Judy, thanks. Jason's going to play for us now.
Good morning, everybody. Praise God. Well, every Sunday night, as of late, we've been coming and doing the Way of the Master study. And it's all about evangelism, reaching out to people with the word, with salvation. And the song I brought today has a lot to do with that. And one thing about that study is it tells us to, and guides us to, actually kind of cut to the chase with people and speak to their conscience and basically bring them the law of God, because the law of God brings about repentance to the humble heart and repentance, salvation through Jesus Christ. And there's definitely a joy that comes with that salvation and the lifting of weight. And if we haven't ever gotten to the point where, you know, we are shaking before God and seeking repentance with a humble heart, then perhaps we haven't come to him the right way quite yet. And I just wanted to say that real fast. Think about it. Be introspective. And the beginning of the song says, "My heart was distressed 'neath Jehovah's dread frown." And that's where we need to be. We need to have a fear of what's coming if we don't accept what God has given us through His Son Jesus and the salvation available. And all those that go to hell choose to go there because they've rejected the free gift of Jesus. But He has so much better for us if we just reach out and take it. Amen. I have something behind me here. My heart was distressed 'neath Jehovah's dread frown, and low in the pit where my sins dragged me down, I cried to the Lord. From the deep miry clay, who tenderly brought me out to golden day. He brought me out of the miry clay. He set my feet on the rock to stay. He puts a song in my soul today, a song of praise, alleluia. He placed me upon the strong rock by His side. My steps were established, and here I'll abide. No danger of falling while here I remain, but stand by His grace until the crown I gain. He brought me out of the miry clay. He set my feet on the rock to stay. He puts a song in my soul today, a song of praise, alleluia. He gave me a song, 'twas a new song of praise. By day and by night, its sweet notes I will raise. My heart overflowing, I'm happy and free. I'll praise my Redeemer who has rescued me. He brought me out of the miry clay. He set my feet on the rock to stay. He puts a song in my soul today, a song of praise, alleluia. I sing of His wonderful mercy to me. I'll praise Him till all men His goodness shall see. I'll sing of salvation at home and abroad, till many shall hear the truth and trust in God. He brought me out of the miry clay. He set my feet on the rock to stay. He puts a song in my soul today, a song of praise, alleluia. I tell of the pit with its gloom and despair. I'll praise my dear Father who answered my prayer. I'll sing my new song, the glad story of love, and join in the chorus with the saints above. He brought me out of the miry clay. He set my feet on the rock to stay. He puts a song in my soul today, a song of praise, alleluia. He brought me out of the miry clay. He set my feet on the rock to stay. He puts a song in my soul to, sorry, today, a song of praise, alleluia.
Amen.
Praise God.
That song today, Jason, because obviously you've noticed today, if you've been looking at all, God's creation today is just splendidly displayed to us, isn't it?
Amen.
Yeah, and fall is a wonderful time. All the seasons have their beauty, and there again, God is ready today to lift us out of the miry clay through His Son, Jesus Christ. So if you're bogged down today, go to the one that can deliver you from the bog. And that is Jesus. And we need to rejoice every day in His goodness to all of us and His love for us through His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, I greet you today in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's nice to see a good group out this morning. Trust that you are interested today in the things of God and in a closer walk with Him. And always remember this. There is a font filled with blood from Emmanuel's veins that there is there to wipe and wash away our sins. And so that is available to us every day. So let's rejoice today. Let's take time. You know, I put it this way. Don't worry about raking the leaves. Just enjoy the leaves. And be thankful to the Lord for days like yesterday when you have a wind that blows them in your neighbor's yard. Right? There you go. Hopefully you were on the right side of things and they weren't blown into your yard. But take time today to just go out and commune with the Lord. Commune with Him in His Word, but also enjoy what He's given us today and the beauty of the seasons. Our message today is a second part of Faith and Obedience, the Keys to Victory. We will be in the book of Joshua in chapter 6 today. We began in chapter 5 last week. I do have one brief announcement, because Lonnie, I don't know if you said this. If you did, stop me. But our Sunday School Revitalization Committee needs to have a two-minute meeting up front here following the service this morning, just to choose a date when we can sit down as a group that we had talked about in our meeting. And I'd like to get that done today so that we get that in motion. We're excited about Sunday school and what it has to offer here at Fruitland, and I want to, again, encourage and just try to motivate people to see the value in Sunday school and in the gathering for that, and what there is there that you can glean and grow in Christ through it, or how you can contribute to that. So we're going to be making an effort here in the next couple of months at Fruitland to see our Sunday school revitalized and to be sure that it has things of value. Once again, for all and different ages and different groups and what you may be facing in your life. So I'm excited about that, and I just want to encourage you to try to make that a part of your Sunday schedule. We may be revamping a few things, and hopefully that'll be something that you might consider and try and would be beneficial in your life. Well, before we start today, this is a worship service, and we're glad again for all that are here, and especially if you're visiting today, we always want you to have a good experience. Take time to say hello to each other and ask each other how things are going. You know, the Word of God says that we ought to bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. So, you know what? It's likely all of us have something going on in our lives today that maybe we need someone to come alongside and say, I'm interested in what you're doing and where you're at, and I want you to know I care about you. And I'll tell you what, that makes a difference in a lot of people's lives when we know that someone cares. Anyway, this is a worship service. We'll take a few moments here of silent prayer to adjust our hearts, and then we'll look into the Word of God today and understand a little further from an example of a real-life account of what happened to God's people when they walked by faith and in obedience to the Lord. So let's bow together in prayer, and then I'll finish with a short pastoral prayer. Lord God, our Father, today as we quiet our hearts before your throne, Lord, help us to acknowledge as we see your handiwork all around us today and every day, Lord, in your creation. Lord, it's the evidence that you exist and that you are indeed who you are. But we thank you today for your greatness, your awesomeness, and we thank you for the manifestation of yourself through your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, who because of your love and his love for mankind, came and gave himself, Lord, as the sacrifice for our sake. We thank you today, too, for your personality of the Holy Spirit that comes alongside the Parakletos, the one who indwells the believer. Lord, the one who you have given us again to be our comforter and our guidance mechanism in this day that we live, Lord. We thank you for this free gift of salvation that you've given us today at the greatest cost, Lord, where God literally in the flesh had to come and die for our sins. We acknowledge that today, Lord, and we praise your name, and we thank you, Lord. Help us, Lord, to get intimate with you and to grow and walk with you and to commune with you, Lord, on a daily basis. Lord, I pray today that you would help us to once again put aside the cares of this world and focus, Lord, on things of eternal consequences. Lord, help us to care for one another. And Lord, to love one another enough to confront people with your love, Lord. Now, Lord, we thank you for the gathering of the church today. Again, this is a dress rehearsal for heaven. And Lord, I pray today that this would be a time, again, that would help us to grow in you and to commune, Lord, with one another. Father, we know that today there are likely many burdens that are in the hearts of the folks here and concerns. But I pray today, Lord, that you will come alongside and give them peace, Lord, that passes all understanding as we face those challenges, never alone, but with you within us and by our sides, Lord. I thank you for that today. Thank you for your presence here today, Lord. Lord, we know that there are many people that are connected to Fruitland that may be ill with physical ailments. Lord, we know there are probably also several that are connected to Fruitland that are struggling with spiritual illnesses as well today, Lord. There may be people that are lonely, that feel destitute. There could be someone today, Lord, that's suffering from financial duress. Lord, from troubles in a marriage, possibly, or troubles with children. There could be grief, Lord, over the loss of a loved one. All those things and more, Lord, that are the experience of humanity, I pray today, Lord, you'll come beside us and help us in these endeavors. Lord, help us also to be winsome and to be concerned about our community around us and our neighbors, Lord, those that we have a contact with, whether near or close. Pray, Lord, today that if there would be a soul that needs to be saved this morning, Lord, that you would speak to that person, that they'd step right up, Lord, and receive you today. Put their faith and trust in you, and Lord, ask you to help them to turn and go the way of victory rather than the path of defeat. Lord, those things and many more are on our hearts today. Now, Lord, I ask your help once again as this fool comes up to speak, and Lord, that you will give me wisdom and the ability to deliver this, Lord, through the power of the Spirit, that it might be used of you, Father, this morning in the hearts of people, including mine. So, Lord, I humbly acknowledge my weaknesses and frailties and my sin, Lord. I pray you'd cleanse me and help me now, Lord, to deliver this for your honor and glory. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Well, this morning we're going to begin in Joshua chapter 6, and we're going to take up where we left off in verse 12. And some of you, and hopefully most of you, remember a little bit about this. Maybe you were able to investigate what was taking place, but this was a big step for the nation of Israel when they entered into the promised land. And of course, we know that anything that we're going to encounter is going to have struggles, because God has an adversary. He has Satan that is there to try to defeat all the things that he wants to do. I'm sure if we could all admit it this morning, we are struggling in that same kind of a thing. And we are, in many cases, being robbed of the victory that Christ won for us. Amen? You know, you don't have to go to seminars. You don't have to go, I can't think of what the word is for that now, but I had it on the tip of my tongue. But, you know, in businesses, they have things that are done to have success and to show you how to succeed in your job or in the certain endeavor that you may be involved in. I can't think what that's called now. Help me out, someone. Yeah, that's all part of it, The bottom line, folks, so what we're going to find out is just what the title of this message says. If you want to have success, take a look at what God told Joshua in the first chapter of this book as they prepared to come out of the wilderness wanderings and get down to business and do what God had given them. By the way, God gives us all things. We merely need to what? By faith and obedience, accept and trust what God gives. You know, sometimes when we have our goal set on big things, we miss the little things. And I believe this, my friends, God is involved in the little things. And he wants you to have joy in that and victory in that. We don't have to climb the big mountains. We just need to get across the hills, right? And thank God for that. Not that he can't help us do the big mountains, but you know what? When you approach the mountains, you got to go over some hills before you get to the peaks, right? And I believe he can do that. I cannot think of that word. Anyway, it's a seminar, but folks, the real truth of this is that obedience and faith are what will cause us to have victory and success in our lives. So we're going to look at that this morning, once again, beginning with verse 12. Now, there's a few things that I'd like to point out as we go through this today. Last week, we looked at the numerics of things, and I may point out just a little bit more about that as well. Some people have asked me over the years. I had a guy at Corwith that was convinced years ago that the Bible was full of numerology, and it was Kenny, and he comes here once in a while. And I said, Kenny, you know, I believe it's true too, but I'm not going to go into studying numerology and all that because I still have to just get the basic concepts of what the scriptures say. But do I believe this divine book has all those things and that numbers matter to God? Absolutely. By the way, I mentioned to the junior senior high class this morning, numbers and mathematics come from God because the number line represents God. No beginning, no end. Mathematics come from God, folks, and it's through his design, and he does have significance with numbers. This morning, though, going to verse 12, there's some principles that we'll find now. As you recall, God told the Israelites when they came to the first challenge, which was the city of Jericho, to do what? March around the city one time for 6 days, and on the seventh day, march around the city seven times. And give a shout, do it just the way I said, and you will have victory over the city. We looked at some of the background, but let's go on this morning. Now, there's some principles that I always like to look at here, but notice in verse 12, and you can read the preceding text here if you weren't here last Sunday or want to look at it again, but it says here in verse 12, and Joshua rose. What's the significance of getting up and getting going early? Now there's, well, number one, I believe this with Joshua because he was a man of God. I believe when Joshua rose up in the morning, and you can probably prove this out through his life and the things, he took time to commune with God first thing in the day. And folks, that's an important thing for us to consider. But just in general principles, why is it good to get up and start early? Realize this, God gives us a day, he gives us life on a day-by-day, minute-by-minute basis. And so if we are to get the most benefit that we can out of a day, and I know some people work shifts and things like that, but whatever you do, make the most of a day. And let me just say this, going to St. Mattress of the Springs may have some benefits, but for the most part, we need to get up and we need to get going. My dad had an old saying. He says, start early because you never know what you're going to have happen, and you have more time to deal with the problems that may come through that day if you get an early start. But also, look at it this way. Even if you don't have a problem that day, you have more time to enjoy the blessings of God and what He has set for you in that day in your life. A day is very important. We can never get back time. So use it the best that you can. Now we'll get into this just a little bit more as we go through here. But Joshua rose early in the morning, and the priest took up the ark of the Lord. So we know this, that very likely they didn't wait till quitting time to go around the city. Right? They started out early in the morning. Now there's another significance to that that we'll find out here later. But I've done a little research, and maybe it isn't accurate, but I looked at several sources. But the city of Jericho was about 1.5 miles circumference to get around it. Now, we got the ark, we have the trumpets, we have the people walking. What's the average speed of someone that walks? If you're really out there to walk, about 3 is what I found. Now, that's when you're booking it. I mean, or you're out there doing a, not a power walk, but a intense walk, okay? Now, when we have all the things in this situation that they had in this entourage as they went around Jericho, I'm just using rough figures. I don't have this proven biblically, but I'm going to say that entourage maybe made 1 mile an hour around that city. So how long would that take to go around the city if they did 1 mile an hour? Let's do some mathematics. 1.5 hours, okay? Now, as we look through this, it's interesting to note that on the day that they went around, on the seventh day, and they did it 7 times, if it took them 1.5 hours to do that, how long would that be on the last day? 10.5 hours. Now, what's a decent work day is about what? Well, most people say 8, I say 10, okay? And in this case, we know that it probably took them about 10.5 hours. If they rose up early in the morning, the Jewish day began at sunrise, or 6 o'clock in the morning, till sunset. Now, just give me some rough thoughts. On that seventh day, and the 7 times that they marched around the city before they shouted, how late would it be in the day when they got done? 4 to 5, 6 o'clock in the evening, right? Now, what would be significant about that with these dwellers in Jericho? We already know they were afraid of Israel. They were pulled up tight. But you know what? They probably were thinking, hey, these people get up early in the morning, and, you know, by 5 o'clock in the afternoon, nothing's going to happen today again. Another day is going to pass by. They get caught off guard at 5 o'clock, even though they probably weren't going to resist anyway because God had set that up. But about 10.5 hours is what the calculation comes to the time that they went around that last day. The reason that Joshua got them up and going early is because they had to do it on the seventh day, so why not practice on the sixth, getting up early? Okay? And there's a little principle about that as well, and I had it written down here. Let's see if I can find that now. I should have had that written closer here or more. Anyway, the point of that being is the 6 times around in the 6 days reminded Israel that the task was not done. Because 6 is what? The number that's just short of perfection. Okay? But on the 7th day, the task was completed. But what I'm trying to say, and I have it written here somewhere, you won't accomplish the big things unless you're able to accomplish the small things. So as we seek to have victory in Jesus, don't negate the small things. Do it the way He says, because the small things precede the big things in most cases. Anyway, Just a little thought there. Verse 13, and the seven priests bearing seven trumpets of ram's horns before the ark of the Lord went on continually and blew with the trumpets. Didn't someone here have a shofar that wasn't? Emma, didn't you have? Ellie had one day here, yeah. Continually and blew the trumpets, and the armed men went before them. But the rearward came after the ark of the Lord, the priests going on and blowing the trumpets. So again, what do we see here? Israel first had to have faith. They believed to do it, and in faith, they proved their faith in obedience, okay? And they did it just the way God wanted them to do it. So, again, the early start, the practice, and they did it exactly as God wanted them to do it. Verse 14, and the second day, they compassed the city once and returned into the camp, and they did 6 days. And it came to pass on the seventh day that they rose early. Now here it gives a specified time about the what? The dawning of the day. This morning I think I stumbled out through the kitchen there about 5:45, and I could just see a faint glow in the east. Isn't it? Haven't we had the most beautiful sunrises and sunsets? Oh my. By the way, if you're not an early riser, that's beneficial to you at this time because you can get up at 7 o'clock and the sun's not up yet. And you can witness the sunrise. But anyway, here it gives a specific time about the dawning of the day. And doesn't that fit with the 10.5 hours? Yeah. By the way, we don't know what season of the year that this took place either, do we? So we don't know about the daylight and how that all worked. But God did, and he set it up exactly in a way that he specified. But about the dawning of the day, and they compassed the city after the same manner 7 times, only on that day they compassed the city 7 times. Okay, so they did it the same. They practiced once a day, 7th day, 7 times around the city. And they were reminded again in that number that this was the day God was going to complete the victory over Jericho. Anyway, I believe God will do that for us too. He has a specified time and a specified way. If we'll obey, he'll give us victory in what he calls us to do. Well, it goes on here. Joshua tells us a little more about the city before we see what all happened. And he had already told, you know, Joshua to let the people know that the city is going to be accursed, even it and all that are therein, to the Lord. Only Rahab the harlot shall live, and all that are with her in the house, because she hid the messengers that we sent. So God's predetermined will was that the city would be destroyed. It'd be conquered. And once again, would no longer be a what? A threat to the proceeding into the promised land of God's people, the Israelites. But he spared who? Rahab and her family. Because of Rahab's act of faith in obeying God and sheltering the spies and protecting them to get out of the land. And more about her in just a minute. Verse 18, and ye in any wise keep yourselves from the accursed thing, lest you make yourselves accursed when you take of the accursed thing and make the camp of Israel a curse and trouble it. So God says, you have to do this the way I specify, because this city is accursed. And if you get involved with it, and let's be honest here, folks, what's a temptation to someone at any time? In this case, the spoils of the city, there might be something there that you see and you think, no one will miss this if I what? If I take this. By the way, read ahead to what happened at a city called Ai, the next battle that Israel had to go to. And you'll find that Israel was defeated because they did not do it God's way. Yes. Folks, it's so important for us to remember, if we do it God's way, it will work. If we don't, it will fail. And it's a very basic principle. But God says, don't take anything out of that city. And he specifies the things that catch the eyes and the hearts of flesh, the fleshly people. He says, but all the silver and gold and vessels of brass and iron are consecrated unto the Lord. They shall come into the treasury of the Lord. By the way, this is more than a miracle of just the overthrow and destruction of the city. This was a miracle that was worked in the Israelites, that they heard God, they did what he said, and they did not covet after these things. And it says here, it was brought into the treasury. The treasury of Israel. So the people again here shouted, it says in verse 20, when the priests blew the trumpets, and it came to pass when the people heard the sound of the trumpet, and the people shouted with a great shout, that the wall fell down flat, so that the people went up into the city, every man straight before him, and they took the city. Now, folks, I don't know what you do when you have victory. I can tell you this. When I've struggled with a mechanical thing or a difficult situation, one of the first things I quote is 1 Corinthians 15:57. When that thing is defeated, maybe it was a bearing that I couldn't get off or something major that was a, and you see it defeated, and all the way along you're asking the Lord, help me, Lord, with this, please. But here's what I quote is 1 Corinthians 15:57. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, we don't know exactly what the people shouted here. What would you shout if you had a victory? Glory to God. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Yeah. Victory in Jehovah. I'm sure they were saying that. We don't know exactly what they said, but I believe that was the case because you know what? The hearts of Israel were united as one with their God as they saw this effort take place and happened right before them exactly as God had said. Folks, what took place there was a miracle. I want to tell you, God can still do miracles today. You're looking at miracles when you look in the mirror every day. That this bag of bones continues to go on. Folks, this was not something that evolved. God created you. He has set your system. Again, even though it's been affected by the curse in all of us, we're all not quite right. We're ill. We have troubles, physical deficiencies. But God is working His miracles before your eye today, right in your own body, in the thinking capacity you have, the ability to be mobile, the ability to shout like the Israelites did, praise God! I can admit it, most times in the mornings, Kim will bear it, you know, she'll rat me out. Most of the time when I rise in the morning, I say, ow! But you know what we ought to be saying? Praise God, ow! See, God works miracles. His whole program is a miracle, folks. And you and I are a part of it. Never discount what God's going to do in your life and mine. He will do things that we never could even consider sometimes and pull things out that we don't think are even possible. But He does it. By the way, there's been a lot of people that over the years they've thought that, you know, they say this is a story, and if it is true, maybe there was an earthquake. And I say, there could have been an earthquake. You know, God may have sent an earthquake that day, but I'm not going to say that because the God I serve could do this with a shout from these people. It was God that did it, and it was a miracle. And you know what? The Israelites saw that. You and I have seen miracles of God, but somehow we get what? We get sidetracked by the things that come in life. And it happened to the Israelites, just like I said. You read on to the next chapter, they got whipped at Ai because they doubted, they did not have faith, and they did not obey. And God taught them a lesson. Folks, that's the same thing with us. If we'll get the lesson right, and we'll struggle, but if we'll get it right, God will continue to work His miracles in spite even of our weaknesses in our life. Never give up on God. Never give up on God. Verse 21, and they utterly destroyed all that was in the city, both man and woman, young and old, and ox and sheep and ass, and with the edge of the sword. But Joshua had said unto the two men that had spied out the country, go into the harlot's house, and bring out thence the woman and all that she has, as you swear unto her. And again, we want to remember this. God protects His servants. If you're here this morning as a servant of God, and I believe this, every one of us can be a servant of the Lord Jesus Christ. God protects His people. Even if you may be in rough territory, even if your life is threatened, or even if it's taken, God protects His people. If you know Jesus Christ today, you're secure in Him. No matter what may befall us, He has us, folks, and He's got our back. God didn't abandon Rahab and her family. And we're going to hear here in just a minute why also that that's important that Rahab's life was spared, because we're here this morning extolling the Lord Jesus Christ. Let me tell you something. Jesus' human lineage is traced back to... By the way, be a little cautious about that. I know it's translated harlot. None of us know for sure. She may have had some of that, but it's also possible that she was not a prostitute. That she just... She was a gal that took care of people and different things like that. I don't know that for sure. But even if she was, Jesus works miracles through less than perfect sinners. Amen? And if you're born again here today, he's worked a miracle in all of our lives. Bottom line, verse 23. And the young men that were spies went in and brought out Rahab and her father and her mother and her brethren and all that she had, and they brought out all her kindred and left them without the camp of Israel. So there they are. They were spared. They were delivered just as God had promised. Now, the interesting thing about this is that Rahab ended up with a guy named Salmon. And if you go back into the lineage of David, this is David's lineage, and that's, again, the lineage of Jesus Christ and his humanity. But there's a tie here, because Salmon and Rahab were likely the parents of a guy named Boaz. And you know who Boaz married in the Bible? Ruth, a Moabitess. And there again, we go right down the line. They had a child named Obed, who was the father of David's dad, Jesse. And see how all this goes? Folks, if you're at the midst... You and I are in the midst of defeat today. God can turn it into victory. He's got a whole plan if we're willing to have faith in him and obey him, folks. Nothing you're facing today is beyond the reach of God's victory. He can do it, and he will do it, folks. I believe that with all my heart. Anyway, by the way, isn't it kind of hard, though, to understand about God? Some people have charged this. They said, why was God so hard on these people in Jericho? Well, I can't explain how God works, but all I can say is this, is that God protects his people. And there are times when God has reasons that the lives of the Jerichoites were all taken, because he protects his people. That's something I can't explain about God. God can do as he chooses. He has reasons for everything. But that's, again, folks, like what Jason sang and talked about today. We better understand and have the fear of God. Not to cower in fear of him, but to respect him, that God has his ways. But praise God, he's given us his directives and told us how to navigate these things if we'll put our faith in him and obey him. So there it is. It comes back to the essence of our message here. They burnt the city with fire and all that was therein, only the silver and the gold, and the vessels of brass and of iron they put into the treasury of the house of the Lord. And Joshua saved Rahab the harlot alive, and her father's household, and all that she had. And she dwelleth in Israel even unto this day, because she hid the messengers which Joshua sent to spy out Jericho. Folks, we have to be very careful about operating in the flesh. When we doubt the miracles that God can do and the victory that he can give, and when we operate in the flesh, that's when we are defeated. But see, just as Joshua showed in these examples here in the Israelites of that day, when you put your faith and trust in the Lord, you will not be defeated. You will not be defeated. Yep. And she did what she was called to do, and God did not abandon her, and he will not abandon you and I either, folks. He's with us all the way. You know, Hebrews 13:5 part B says, I will never, and if you go to that word never in the Greek, it's the most emphatic possibility there is in the language, meaning you could say never, 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 forever. He will never leave you and I or forsake us. Hallelujah. Praise God today for that. Verse 26, and Joshua adjured them at that time, saying, cursed be the man before the Lord that riseth up and buildeth this city, Jericho. He shall lay the foundation thereof in his firstborn, and in his youngest son shall he set up the gates of it. You know, when God destroyed Jericho, he meant it not to rise again. You can go in the text, we aren't going to turn there today, but if you look at 1 Kings 16:30, there's a guy by the name of Hiel that tried to rebuild about 500 years later, and it's recorded in Scripture what happened with him. Now, there have been other communities built around that area, I'm told, and so forth, but let me just say this, folks, God's purposes will stand. And if we get crossed up with God and become accursed by things, folks, it will never be successful. The idea, once again, of the title of this message, of by faith receiving what God has for us and by obeying Him, those will always be the recipe for victory in our lives. So Joshua said, be careful about that. And notice in verse 27, as we close in the text this morning, and there's a lot more that we could look at out of this, but so the Lord was with Joshua, and his fame was noised throughout all the country. I'll tell you what, folks, when the Lord is, he never leaves us nor forsakes us, but when we're under his blessing, it's like being on cloud nine. You won't be touched. I've seen it when I've walked with him in those areas. I've seen it when I've not been in those areas where it hurt and it caused trouble in my spiritual walk, just like with you. But folks, this is where God wants us to be. He wants us to be in the position, just like Israel was when they conquered Jericho. You can have that today by faith and obedience in the Lord. He wants us to have that victory in our lives. Well, in conclusion today, be careful that we praise God for the little things, because if we don't praise Him in the little things, we won't praise Him in the big things, folks. So take today the goodness of God and thank Him for it. Tell Him hallelujah, praise God. You know what, folks? As I always say here, though, if there'd be one today apart from Jesus Christ, if you're seeking victory in your life, you may find success. You may become a very wealthy person on this side of eternity, but folks, true success is becoming a child of God, having the new birth in Jesus Christ, and walking with Him where the little things become big things, where the stuff like wealth and riches and fame become unimportant, but a walk with the King and what He has for us become the most blessed thing that we could ever obtain. Friend, if you don't have that today, Jesus has that for you. If you're here today saved and born again, you draw closer to Him through your faith and obedience. And I'll tell you what, folks, you'll see a change. It'll be better. I pray for more change in my life. I pray that in your life as well. If we get it right, it'll be great. It is great. And God provides that for us because He loves us that much. But always remember this, too, in closing, just like I mentioned with Ai, the next encounter as they moved into the promised land, there will always be challenges. There will always be trouble on the horizon that will challenge our victories. But with God, our victory is secure. Faith and obedience are the keys to victory. In victorious living, if we are not experiencing spiritual victory, this is the formula, just what we've heard the last 2 weeks. You cannot have victory apart from the victor, who is Jesus. Trust and obey His call for you and your life today. Faith and obedience, it's the key to victorious living. Amen. Let's take our hymnals and stand. 145, please, if you're able to stand. Yes. Okay, workshop's part of it. Motivational speaking. Thank you, Doug. By the way, folks, I didn't come here to give a motivational speech, but God will lift you up. Let's leave here today on high ground. You know, I'm pressing on the upward way. New heights I'm gaining every day. Still praying as I onward bound. Lord, plant my feet. Well, on higher ground, absolutely. And the Lord will do that. What a glorious day today to serve the King. Let's sing this morning and realize today, if you have a burden that's on your heart, Jesus is willing to take it today. The Apostle Peter says, cast all your cares on Him. He cares for you. See, so don't leave here down. Leave here with victory. Trust God, obey God, and again, experience the victory He has for you today. If you would like to talk with me or others here that could encourage you, I'm always glad to do that. I'm always glad to visit with you about the things of the Lord. Let's sing stanza one. Days are filled with sorrow and care. Thankfully, Jesus is always there when we come to Him. Let's be dismissed in prayer today. I look forward to greeting you at the back door. Shall we bow together? Father, thank You once again for the bedrock foundational elements, Lord, again, to live victoriously. Help us, Lord, to understand, even though we may be in the midst of terrible burdens, we can still claim the victory. And, Lord, You will work it in our lives. Help everyone here today to not be discouraged, Lord, but to be encouraged. And what You have in store for Your people. We know this, Lord, that what You have prepared for us in heaven is beyond anything we can even comprehend in our finite minds. But Lord, we look forward to the day when You'll deliver us to infiniteness, Lord. And again, with new bodies and a new focus, Lord, that is not one of death, but is one of life for eternity. I just pray again, Lord, if there be one in our number today, that they would step out, Lord, and come to You today to receive You by faith and to obey the commands that You have. And You've said, come unto Me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Lord, I pray again, You'd be the center of our focus in the rest of this day. And Lord, that we give You the praise that You're so much worthy of. Now dismiss us, I pray, with Your blessing. In Jesus' name, amen. Yeah.